From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we bring another in a series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. First, we invite your attention to this devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook by the great 19th century English preacher C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled Possess, not only profess. The text is Matthew chapter 13 and verse 12. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. When the Lord has given to a man much grace, he will give him more. A little faith is a nest egg. More faith will come to it. But then it must not be seeming faith, but real and true. What a necessity is laid upon us to make sure work in religion, and not to profess much and possess nothing. For one of these days the very profession will be taken from us, if that be all we have. The threatening is as true as the promise. Blessed be the Lord. It is His way, when He has once made a beginning, to go on bestowing the graces of His Spirit, till he who had but little, and yet truly had that little, is made to have abundance. Oh, for that abundance! Abundance of grace is a thing to be coveted. It would be well to know much, but better to love much. It would be delightful to have abundance of skill to serve God, but better still to have abundance of faith to trust in the Lord for skill and everything. Lord, since Thou hast given me a sense of sin, deepen my hatred of evil. Since Thou hast caused me to trust Jesus, raise my faith to full assurance. Since Thou hast made me to love Thee, cause me to be carried away with vehement affection for Thee.
This is my song of praise.
As believers in Jesus Christ seek to witness to the unsaved, they are frequently met by a variety of questions. These might include such queries as, why did Christ have to be God? Did God create evil? Or how do we know that the Bible is the Word of God? Dr. Cairns answers these and many other questions on a DVD presentation called Q&A with Alan Cairns. In all, Dr. Cairns responded to over 50 such concerns. We're happy to be able to provide you free of charge a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you wish, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. Continuing his series in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns brings the final portion of a message entitled Judgment According to Works and Justification by Faith, part of his treatment of the theme, The Principles of Divine Judgment. The text is found in verses 6 through 10 of chapter 2, and speak of God rendering to every man according to his deeds. A difficulty in dealing with this text arises from the question of the relationship between justification by faith and believers being rewarded according to their works. Rather than being the basis of our salvation, our good works are the evidence that we really are saved. The passage speaks of what Christians are seeking: glory, honor, and immortality. Paul assures them that they will get what they are seeking, for the believer's reward is in keeping with his works. Now here's Dr. Cairns to conclude this message, Judgment According to Works and Justification by Faith.
So as we come to the close tonight, what I'm saying is that what saints will receive will accord perfectly with what they have sought. In a nutshell, that's the doctrine. And it's a wonderful doctrine. What we will receive will accord with what we have sought. In fact, I would extend that beyond the saints and say that's true of every one of us. God will give you what you're honestly looking for. And those who are so taken up with sin and the world, so blinded with the glitter of sin in the world, that they really have little interest in God, His Christ, His law, or His gospel. God will give you what you're looking for. May not then be what you want. It's what you'll get. And if you're saved by faith alone in Christ alone, this is a glorious truth. All that God gives you will be in accord with what you've been seeking. What are saints seeking? They're seeking eternal life. Now, seek does not necessarily mean they're seeking for what they don't have or what they have lost. It means they're seeking diligently. They're longing for, as I think of Paul's words in Hebrews 11:14, that they seek a country. They're pilgrims on the way to heaven. The saints' everlasting rest is their passion, even as they pass through the world. That's, I pointed out last week, did I not? This is the great mark of a Christian. It's a passion for eternity. We're in the world, we're not of it. We use the world, we don't abuse the world. We're seeking for that country. That's the mark of a Christian. And we're taught here, we will receive everything we have sought. You're seeking for glory. The glory there has the idea of the full, untrammeled revelation of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The honor is the well done of God. The honor is saying, I care not for riches or gold or reputation or what man may think or say. I am living for the well done of God. That's the honor. The incorruptibility, or as Paul puts it in verse 10, is the peace. The absolute, irreversible enjoyment of all God's provision for all eternity. He says, you're seeking for that. You're living for that. That controls how you think. That controls how you act. That controls what you do, where you go. It controls everything in your life. You are consumed with that. Then that's what you'll get. It's not that you deserve it, but Christ has purchased it for you. He'll give it to you. You'll get all you seek. And our outward reward, our reward indeed, eternally, will be suited to our character and service here on earth. Now here's the germ, at least, of the idea that you get in 1 Corinthians 3, that there are different levels of reward. As God says, it's in keeping with different levels of development of character and service. Now, I must confess, I don't have the full insight in this. There is a great deal of mystery here. But you know, to me, as I sat in my study and pondered this, it opened up a wonderful vista. I have to confess to you that I don't know much about the new heaven and the new earth. And I don't know anybody else knows a lot about it, and I'm most suspicious of all of those people who think they know everything about it. But I believe that there will be a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. I've often pondered a question that you've heard raised 100 times, no doubt. You know, if God loved this world, and redemption is about this world, why is the universe so vast? Why do we have millions of galaxies, never mind millions of planets? Why do we have millions of galaxies, of stars and planets? Why is the universe so big? I honestly don't know, except that it pleases God. If it pleases God, it pleases me. But as I have pondered this, I must say my mind has traveled off into the future. And I have thought perhaps when all the glorified saints of God in communion with all the holy angels, hymn the praises of the Lamb of God, perhaps then we begin to enjoy the vast fullness of the universe that God has created. I don't think we're going to need spaceships or space suits. I don't know. I'm not saying what God is going to do, for He hasn't told us. But I believe that this wonderful creation of God, renewed to perfection, will be a fit place for a people who are fit to enjoy it. Now, everybody in the new heavens and the new earth will be perfectly blessed. All will have an honorable place. But all will not have the same place, and our place will be in keeping with our work. Now, I want to give you a wee word here before we quit about what has been called motivation and crown theology. Have you heard these preachers? And they're laboring for this crown and that crown. As a little boy, I used to have strange visions of these preachers walking through heaven with about 40 different crowns in their head, and they're just trying to balance them all. And it never really made a whole lot of sense to me. I'm well aware that Paul says we strive in order to obtain an incorruptible crown. What he means is that we live in holiness as those who are seeking eternal life. But strictly speaking, you know, and I think every Christian's heart says amen to this, we're not living for the crown. We're living for the Christ. And when Paul speaks of the crown of life, and the crown of glory, and the crown of righteousness, I asked Dr. Barrett, of all the 40 meanings of the genitive, what do you think that this is? The all. There's a matter for discussion there. I think it simply is saying the crown of life is the crown upon life. It is the fullest expression of life. It's the fullest expression of glory. It's the fullest expression of righteousness, and all of it belongs to everybody who is seeking eternal life. That's what he's saying. And when you receive that crown, do you know the greatest thing we ever do with the crown? I love the old hymn that says, "We shall wear a golden crown when we get home." I think it's, "I shall wear a golden crown when I get home. Clad in robes of glory, I shall tell the story." It's all very nice. There's a lot of truth in it. But turn to Revelation 4, 10 and 11. And you'll find that when the elders who represent the church before the throne of God, when they worship Him that liveth forever and ever, what do? They cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Thou art worthy, O Lord." And I have to be honest, it's not the thought of sitting in heaven with a golden crown in my head that would motivate me to anything. The thought of seeing Him who wore a crown of thorns, whose body still bears the marks, because in heaven He is always the Lamb freshly slain. When I think of Him whose body bears the marks of His suffering for my salvation, and I want to take all that God gives me of glory and honor and immortality and cast it down at Jesus' feet and say, "Lord, Thou art worthy." The only reason I'm not in hell is not that I worked well, labored hard, or was faithful. The only reason I am not in hell is Thou art worthy, and Thou hast saved me. That's what we seek for. Thank God that's what we receive. So let us leave tonight with these urgent lessons. Takes a righteousness beyond anything that you or I can produce by our works to be cleared in the judgment of God. Takes the very righteousness of Christ. We receive that righteousness by faith alone, and we're justified freely by God's grace. But the faith that justifies us is never alone. Never forget that. If you tell me you're justified by faith alone, but yours is a faith that produces nothing but unholiness, then you do not have saving faith. The faith that justifies us is faith alone, but it is faith that never stands alone. And here's what I want us to take with us tonight. While we're here on earth, we should give priority to those things that God is going to count important on the judgment day. We're all going to stand before Him very soon. It'll not belong. I don't care if you're 8 or 80. It's not going to belong. Think of the things that seem so important to you now. Let me ask you, is God going to count those things important on that day? Let us live today for the things that God will count important tomorrow. Let us make the rule of God's judgment the rule for our daily living. As Paul said, or should I say, John said in his first epistle, chapter 2, verse 28, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming, or in the day that we stand before Him. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father in heaven, bless Thy word to our hearts tonight. We thank Thee for a glorious Savior and a wonderful Redeemer. Lord, we thank Thee for the finished work of the cross and the complete justification that we have in Christ. We thank Thee, Lord, for the gift of saving faith. And we thank Thee that it is a fruitful thing. Lord, produce fruit unto holiness in these lives of ours. God, grant that Thou wilt enable us to live with eternity ever in our view, that we may glorify Thee on earth, living, looking for eternal life, knowing that we shall receive glory and honor and incorruptible, immortal peace. And we'll be with Christ for all eternity. Help us to live with that in view. Take my life and let it be consecrated now to Thee. Do it for every one of us tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. Founded by Dr. Alan Cairns, Let the Bible Speak is also heard in many parts of the world through the international radio outreach of Let the Bible Speak, produced in Northern Ireland. The Free Presbyterian Church stands without apology for the absolute inerrancy of the Bible, emphasizing preaching that centers on the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ and is militant in its stand against the ecumenical apostasy and the efforts of the world to infiltrate the Church. For further information about the Free Presbyterian Church, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Also, we encourage you to visit the website of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America at www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelsch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.